Okay, shalom aleichem. Okay. We are in Chavis Halvavis Shah Bitochen, Perek Dalin. In my lifetime edition, it's page Shin Samach. And once again, we're in the middle of discussing the various explanations of the Chavis Halvavis of why the Torah does not describe the schar of Olam Haba when it talks about reward. So, mayhem. So, we're going to see a reason here that's a subtle reason. Shegmula Olam Haba in tachlisay elali dabig bilikim. The essence of Olam Haba is to connect with Hashem, to become bound up with Hashem. Liskarev el oira elyon, to be brought close to his great light, etc. He quotes a couple of psukim to this effect, and we skip a couple of lines. And the only way it can work is by Hashem wanting and desiring this person's closeness. Hashem desiring your company, so to speak, finding you pleasing is the root of the reward. The reward comes from there. Like the pasuk says, "Kirega ba'apoy chayim b'yotzaynoy." His wrath is an instant, but life is through him being pleased with you. I want to note that the simple understanding of this pasuk may seem to be chayim b'yotzaynoy, you live through his will. But really, the simple pshat of the pasuk is really deeper than that. Chaim b'ritzonoi. Ratzon here doesn't mean his will; it means his pleasure, his wanting you, and that is really the source of life. V'omar b'parshas in b'chukosai, and the Torah says in parshas b'chukosai, remazim shirayim mayrim al ratzon elikim. It gives a few different indications in the pasuk, this concept of that really the goal here is, or the root of everything else we're talking about is, Hashem wanting your closeness, Hashem being interested in you personally, not just providing you with reward. Again, this is all a little abstract now. We'll try to bring it home more tangibly momentarily, but let's see first. Rumash Omar, for example, the pasuk says, when the pasuk is describing in the Chukosai, how it'll work if you keep Hashem's Torah. So it says, "Venasati shalom ba'aretz, I will give peace and I'll give plenty, etc." But then it continues and says, "Venasati mishkani b'seichichem, I will put my mikdash among you," which really means, "I will settle among you, I will live among you," so to speak. "Veloisig al nafshi eschem, and I will not be disgusted with you, or I will not be turned off from you." In other words, the description of the schar is culminating with, again, basically the way the pasuk describes it is like this: if you keep my mitzvahs, I'll give you rains at the right time, etc., and one season of plenty will overlap with the next. You'll eat and you'll be filled. You'll sit securely in the land. I'll grant peace. You won't be frightened. I'll keep wild animals and sword out of the land. You'll chase your enemies and they'll fall before you. I'll turn to you. I'll make you plan. I'll multiply you. I'll keep your bris with you. You will always have to clear the storehouses out from the old produce in order to make room for the new one. That's how plentiful it'll be. And it culminates with, I will, v'nosati mishkani b'seichachem, I will plant, I'll settle my mishkan, meaning I will actually settle among you. I will not be turned off from by you. I will go among you. I will be your elikim, and you will be my nation. In other words, what the pasuk is actually saying, the Chavis Halvavos is pointing out, that it all culminates with, Hashem is saying, all of those different material blessings that you receive will really just be symptoms of the fact that I am close with you, I'm residing among you, and I, so to speak, enjoy your company. Now, and these are the psukim that the Chemes Avamis quotes here. Now, in order to bring this home, I want to put this into a perspective as follows. The way Rav Shimshon Pinkus expresses it is that he says, it's a puzzling pasuk. Hashem tells Avram Avinu, "Al tira Avram." Hashem, don't be afraid. I'm sorry, give me one moment. He says, Avram, don't be afraid. You have great reward coming to you. Avram continues, then Avram responds to Hashem. Imagine getting such a notification from Hashem. You have nothing to fear. I am going to give you great reward. Avram Avinu's response is puzzling. He says, Hashem, what can you possibly give me? What will you give me as long as I'm going without seed? That's puzzling. If Hashem says, Hashem knows how to give reward. What does this mean? Avraham Avinu comes and says, what can you possibly give me? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says as follows. This is really the point that the Chovas HaLovis is making here, and this is a point that's fundamental to understanding our essence as Jews. He says, Avraham Avinu was telling Hashem as follows. I don't want schar as in reward, as in payment for my good deeds. I want something else. I want to be your family. Now, we're not going to get into now why that depended on seed. But Avraham Avinu says, I made such efforts to get close to you. I want to actually become, so to speak, kiviyachol, part of your family, your people. The way Rav Shimshon Pinkus expressed it in his inimitable style is, he says, I don't want to get a prize from you. I want to be able to walk into your kitchen, open the fridge, and take whatever I want. That's how Rav Shimshon Pinkus expressed it. In other words, I don't want to be your top executive. I don't want to be highest on your payroll. I want to be part of your family. I want to be intimate with you. Rather than be highest on your payroll, I would like to be able to crawl up to you and climb on your lap and take food off your plate and eat it, as only a child would do. This was really the reward that Avraham Avinu was longing for. And that had to come through having progeny that would be the Am Hashem, whatever. We're not going to get into that right now. But this is the point that the Chovas HaLevavos is making here. You have to understand that the true sechar of Olam Haba is not reward per se, but an intimate relationship with Hashem, being drawn close by Hashem. That is ultimately the greatest bliss that could possibly exist. I just want to say, again, to us in material bodies, this sounds abstract. But I want to note that the truth is that something, lehavdil, this can actually be experienced in certain ways in this world also. I will say that as a bacher in my youth, I had this chus of having close relationships with a number of great people. And these were highlights of my teenage years. Now, I want to stress that it's not just in terms of inspiration, in terms of the value of the instruction that I got from these people and from their examples, but I'm talking about the actual, not sure which word to use, the warm feelings, the feelings of elevation that you got from spending time with these people. It had a certain effect. It had a certain, you call it a therapeutic effect. When yeshiva years are rigorous, and among the things that gave me great chizuk were my occasional relatively frequent, but not so frequent, so every couple of months, a visit to Reb Michal Yehuda Lifkovich in Bnei Brak. Spending time in the company of that great man and having his focus on you, mamish, you went out of there walking on clouds, feeling like you were just like in a different zone. The warmth, the love that his gaze, just like he had this gaze, you know, so you usually hear about like this penetrating gaze. His gaze wasn't the penetrating gaze. His gaze was like a bathing gaze. It was like you just basked in it. It was like he kind of like enveloped you with his gaze, with a certain aura of love and of like, I was a 17-year-old boy, and here we're talking about a 90-year-old sage just looking at you as though you are the most important thing in the world to me right now. The relationship with Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel in the Mir Yeshiva. This was already something more daily, but it was also something that provided fuel. It provided emotional fuel, which enabled us to fly high in yeshiva. This is described by many of his Talmidim. And spending time with him gave you this. I'll just say, why aren't I naming Rabbi Avigdor Miller, who I consider my perhaps my foremost mentor and the person who most formed me from the different rebbeim I had. The reason for that is that I didn't actually have all that much personal interaction with him. I had personal interaction with him as a child growing up in his shul, and that was very, very profound. The influence that he had on my life in a large way was through the influence that he had on our family and through hearing him for all those years and also afterwards. There was less of that intimate personal relationship aspect. I enjoyed a place of the son and grandson of people who had very close and intimate relationships with them. But that's in parentheses. But the point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes there are actually relationships in this world that can give you a taste of what it means to be basking in the presence and in the attention of Hashem, getting the feeling that He wants you close to Him. And of course, this is Lahavdil Elif Alfe Abdullahs. You can't compare the two at all. I'm giving a faint mushel to the concept. So what is the Chavis HaVavis telling us? The Chavis HaVavis is making this point, and he is using it as an explanation of why the Torah does not describe the Schar of Olam Haba. So he made a very, very profound point here. But so again, why does the Torah not describe that as the Schar of Olam Haba? And the answer is, Chaim Salvavis is trying to convey a subtle point. When promising schar, you can promise quantified things. You can say, for this, I'll give you that. For this, I'll give you that. You can't say, if you do this, I will be crazy about you. I will want you close to me. That's not something that you can offer in a deal. It's not something you can offer in an exchange. That is something that can develop naturally. And it will develop naturally for any Jew who chooses to draw close to Hashem and reach out to Him. It will develop naturally, but it's not a type of thing that's appropriately presented as an offer of reward. Reward is payment, right? If you do XYZ, I will give you XYZ. You can't promise warm feelings. You can't promise I will feel like I want to have you next to me. That's not reward. That is a reality that develops out of growing close. So therefore, Hashem talks in terms of reward. I will provide you with plenty, with peace, with security, etc. But as we actually see in the Torah, Hashem does allude to the concept, and you should know that it will actually bring you close to me. It will bring you to a place where I will want to have you close to me. And that's what's expressed here in B'chu Koisai. V'nosati mishkani v'soichachem. I will reside among you. I will go among you. I'll be close with you. So this is a subtle point, but a very profound one in understanding the nature of what Hashem actually has destined with us. He has destined with us an intimate, destined for us an intimate relationship, which is not really appropriately framed in the context of reward. It will be the end result of spending your life trying to get close to Hashem. But the reward, in terms of what Hashem promises in advance, that has to be portrayed otherwise. And that's portrayed in material terms. Okay. Now, the Chavis HaBavis ties this up now and says, let's just briefly recap. The Chavis HaBavis, we just spent quite a number of days discussing the Chavis HaBavis' understandings of why Olam Haba is not described in the Torah, why the Torah does not present the reward in terms of Olam Haba. So to briefly recap the various explanations that we saw, and the truth is that they come together. These aren't necessarily alternative explanations. Each one hits a different angle. There's a lot of different dimensions here. But briefly, number one is that you cannot describe the bliss of the neshama to a person in a material body. It can't be comprehended. It's beyond our capacity. Number two is that Olam Haba was known by tradition from the earliest of times. It was already, knowledge of Olam Haba was well known in Klal Yisrael from way back, and therefore the Torah sufficed with allusions to it here and there. It did not really need to introduce the concept. Number three was that Hashem dealt with us in a way that you would deal with a child. You don't come straight to a child and start explaining him the value of education and how it's going to serve him later in life. You get him to school, go to school by offering him the candy. And yes, there will be a few years in the child's life where he knows that the reason he goes to school is in order to get treats at the end of the week. From there, you graduate to the higher understandings. So therefore, the Torah is given as a baseboard to every person, whatever level he's at. And therefore, it talks in terms of material reward. You grow from there to the more refined understanding of Sechar and Olam Haba. The next point that the Chavis HaBavis said was the understanding that Hashem did not describe this Sechar and Olam Haba to get across a point that actually Olam Haba cannot really be said to be reward for our deeds, because our deeds don't earn us Olam Haba. Our deeds still keep us in a deficit in terms of repaying the good that we get in Olam Hazeh. And therefore Hashem is making a point here by saying, I will give you Olam Haba, but I'm not putting it into the contract, because I want you to understand that this is actually something that really is coming from my goodness, even after all the efforts that you make. The next reason was that since our deeds divide into two parts, two layers, there's what we do with our bodies, and then there's what's going on the inside, under the surface, which is actually the greater part. So Hashem divides his reward also into the open material part, which is what's described in the Torah. And then there's the concealed part that is not actually described, which will be given corresponding to the concealed part of our avodah. Okay? Then the next understanding was that Hashem speaks to people according to their level, similar to the answer we saw earlier. And the last was what we discussed tonight, that since the essence of Olam Haba is being drawn close to Hashem, it is not something that is appropriately described as reward. Rather, it's the result of growing close to Hashem. When Hashem is promising reward, he speaks in reward terms, not in terms of an intimate relationship. Okay? We will end here for tonight. Kol tov, Rabbi Yisai.
Thank you very much.